right? How many of you need your faith to be strengthened? Probably most every one of us in this place this morning, if we were honest with God and honest with ourselves, would say, Lord, my faith really needs a little strength. That is, God's able to grow your faith and my faith in Him. And I believe that's what the Lord is wanting to do in these days. Why is it that we walk around worried? Why is it that we feel so insecure? Why is it that we're anxious and troubled about things going on in our life? It could be, and probably most likely it is, that our faith is in ICU. Our faith needs a little strength. And in fact, it might need to be adjusted a little bit. How many need your faith to be tweaked a little bit? I believe every one of us here need our faith to be, adjusted somewhat. We're not really where we are at the point of really trusting God through every circumstance. I don't know what the title of the message is. I had four or five, to be honest with you. Fix faith is one of them. Fixing your faith, or adjusting your faith, or fearless faith. You choose. It doesn't matter. Our faith needs to be definitely adjusted, because after all, our God is well able to take care of you. Do you believe that? Oh, yeah. God will make a way when there is no way. And God is a God in whom we serve, the God of the impossibility. Because things that are impossible with men are possible with God. So why is it that we do not trust Him? Why is it that we go through stuff in life and we lean on our own understanding rather than on God? And speaking of faith and the Lord, it reminded me of a doctor and a lawyer. They were at Walmart shopping together one day, and a lady came up to the doctor and said to the doctor, said, Doc, what about this particular prescription I've been taking? I'm not sure if it's good to take or not. What would be your advice? The doctor told the lady what kind of prescription she was taking and gave her some counsel right there at Walmart. And then when she walked away, he looked at the lawyer and he said, doesn't it disturb you when you're off in a public place and people come up to you and ask you concerning questions in regards to medicines and such and in your profession? The lawyer looked at the doctor and said, you know what I do? And he said, no, what do you do? He said, I just send them a bill in the mail when they come up to me and ask me questions. So the doctor got to thinking about that. He thought about that all night long. And then finally, on Monday morning, after he thought about it all night long, he went out to the mailbox. He put a letter in and a bill toward that lady who had asked him the question. He opened the mailbox. He pulled it out and noticed a letter was inside, and it was a bill from the lawyer. Anyway, sometimes our faith definitely needs adjusting. I'm convinced today that God is going to encourage you and bless you as we look at five ways to adjust your faith, five ways to tweak your trust in the Lord. And number one is this: believing when you cannot see. Number two, we'll look at it in a moment, embracing what you don't understand. And there's some of us today, there's some things going on we don't really understand. Number three, rolling over the cares that are too heavy for us to carry. And number four, and not only that, but waiting when it's hard to be patient. What does God want to do with your faith today? Number five, and it's this: calming down when everybody else around you is upset. I'm convinced the Lord is wanting to speak to your heart and my heart. And I believe there'll be some breakthroughs today as we take the wonderful Word of God. And we're going to look in the book of Psalm chapter 37. I love Psalm 37. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 37 as we consider today ways. And the title again is Adjusting Your Faith, Fixing Your Faith, Fearless Faith, or In a Weird World, however you want to term it. In Psalm chapter 1 and chapter 37, rather, I want you to turn there, please, as we read a few of these verses in Psalm chapter 37. And these are ways that God put in my heart. As a matter of fact, I remember it was homecoming, the Saturday. You remember the Saturday we worked? Remember when y'all made the barbecue, Brother Ralph and Brother Justin? We were out there working. I went back to the old sanctuary. And I was standing there in the sanctuary, and the Lord, for some reason or another, guided me to Psalm 37. And a few of these truths leaped off the pages in my heart just a couple of weeks ago. And God began to develop the heart in my heart. start the message I want to share with you today concerning faith, concerning believe in God. So we turn to Psalm chapter 37. No doubt David is the author in this particular psalm. I love Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And then Psalm 2, kiss the son lest he be angry. You can march through the psalms and see how beautiful Psalm 19:1 is. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Say it one more time. That's what I shared with Sister Bobby Bailey last night as I whispered in her ear there in the ER. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 27 and verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The Lord shall give us peace, as Psalm chapter 29. Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm 32, blesses the man whose sins are forgiven. Oh, yes, Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That leads us to Psalm 37. If you would stand to your feet as we read the wonderful word of God. If you're able, Psalm 37. There are ways to strengthen your faith this morning. And if you'll really be honest with God, there's some stuff you've been going through that you can't quite understand. You don't understand. Maybe there's some trials and some tests. The test of faith turns into the best of faith because it's the rest of faith. Psalm 37, verse 1, if you're there, say amen. Fret not. Fret not. Don't worry thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now you need to understand before we read verse 2, David is comparing the righteous with the wicked. And he's saying, it seems like things are being blessed on those who prosper, that is, when they even do wickedly. He no doubt was probably reading the book of Job. I don't know that for sure, but more than likely he probably was. But this is a comparison, Psalm 37, a contrast between those who do right and those who don't do right. Psalm 37, verse 2, they shall be soon cut down. He said the evildoers shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. But look at verse 3. Verse 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 is our text this morning. Trust in the Lord. Let's say that together. Trust in the Lord. One more time. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4. Delight thyself in the Lord. Let's say that together. Delight thyself in the Lord. One more time. Oh yes, enjoy the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires. The word desires is the word petitions or requests. Delight in the Lord, enjoy the Lord, and he, the word onog is the Hebrew word for delight. Enjoy his presence. Live in the light of the Lord. Yahweh is the word for Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart, the desires of your mind, your will, your emotions, that joy and gladness. Look at verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. The word commit means to roll over in the Hebrew. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Verse 6. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7. Notice. Rest in the Lord. Let's say that together. Rest in the Lord. One more time. Boy, isn't that a good word? I don't know about you, but my soul, that word, you know what it means? Be still. That's what it means. Be still. Rest in the Lord. The word is dolman in the Hebrew. Be still. Boy, that's a good word for me today. I came all the way to church just to hear God say, rest in him. And then notice what else the psalmist said, David. And wait patiently. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 8, the last of the verses that we'll share this morning. Cease from anger. That means refrain from anger and forsake wrath. That means leave rage. We live in an age of rage. No wonder we can't trust God if we're got harboring resentment in our heart and bitterness in our heart and our mind. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Verse 8, this is the word of God, and all God's people said, amen and amen and amen. God's going to bless us today as we dive a little deeper, as we climb a little higher, as we go a little further in this element called faith. God wants to grow your faith. God wants to mature you and me so we'll be able to do great exploits for Him. We're not really exercising that very faith that was once delivered to the saints that God wants us to tap into and experience. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your will. Thank You for Your way. Thank You for Your presence, Your power, Your peace. Lord, we love You today. We've entered Your gates with thanksgiving, Your courts with praise. It's all about You, and Lord Jesus, we want to say we bless You. I want to thank You personally for Your saving grace, Your unconditional love, Your forgiveness of all of my sins. I bless You for a home in heaven. I bless You for heaven here on earth. And God, I pray You'll meet every need. Father, You know where we're all at, mamas and daddies and grandparents and teenagers and students and dear Lord, elderly and Father, senior adults and dear Lord, the working world and the challenges and demands and Father God, the relationships we can't fix and things that we are having difficulty dealing with. We pray the power of Your Holy Spirit will impart to us wisdom and revelation. And God our Father will, Lord, just bask in Your presence and be encouraged in Your word and be changed by Your mighty power. Thank You. The gospel is still the power of You and the salvation to everyone that believeth. We ask You, God, to touch hearts, to speak to hearts, and to get glory and honor because we bless You because You are the conquering King. And Lord Jesus, be magnified. Have the preeminence. Have the first place in all of our hearts. Cleanse us of everything and anything, dear Lord, and grieve Your spirit or quench Your spirit. And Father, give us again an audience with You today. And when all is said and done, we'll thank You and praise You because it's all about You and You deserve the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. We're talking today on the subject of strengthening your faith. How many need your faith to be strengthened? Let me see your hand. Come on. Come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Let's go ahead and be honest. Come on, engage in the message because all of us, our faith isn't what it ought to be. Because you just let a trial or a test come on your way, you'll see what your faith is made of. You'll see that faith, real faith, watch this, there are going to be some works with real faith. Where are your works? Where's the fruit? If you really believe God, according to James 2, there's going to be some works. There's going to be some real evidences of real, genuine, biblical faith. What kind of trials are you going through? There's five ways that you can test to see what kind of faith you have. Number one is by believing when you cannot see. Believing when you cannot see. Write that down. I get that from verse number 3. Believing when you cannot see. Sometimes we go through life and we can't see our way clearly. Can I get an amen? I just want to make sure I'm not preaching to the choir. Sometimes in life, we go through life, we can't see our way clearly, but yet we've got to trust the Lord. That's what the psalmist David said in Psalm 37 and verse 3. Look at it. Trust in the Lord. Number one, by believing when you cannot see. Number two, there's a second way your faith can be strengthened today. You don't have to leave today the way you came in. You don't have to worry and fret and be anxious over money and over children and over grandchildren, over health issues. You can trust the Lord. If you'll just say, God, I need You, I want You, I confess that I've been anxious and worried, and Lord, I'm going to do exactly what Your word says today. There's a second found truth in this text as these truths that transform. Number two, it's not only believing when you can't see, but watch this. It's embracing what you don't understand. Embracing what you don't understand. I see that in verse 4. Delight thyself in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I see that clearly. Embracing what you don't understand. How many are going through something right now that you don't understand? You don't understand why you can't get out of debt. You don't understand. It could be you're spending more money than you're taking in. I mean, hello, that doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. But it could be, Lord, why am I always having things tear up? Why am I going through this trouble and trial? Well, embracing things you don't understand. That's faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Number 3, as a third way, our faith can be built up. Our faith can grow in the Lord. Our faith in Jesus can do great exploits. The third way is found in verse number 5. Commit thy works to the Lord. And here's what the Lord gave me to give to you. Roll over, roll over. That's what the word commit means in the Hebrew. Roll over was too heavy to carry. Roll over was too heavy to carry. And there's some troubles and trials and burdens we all face sometimes that are too heavy to carry. You've been trying to carry it, it's about to pull you down. You've been trying to shoulder it all yourself, and it's time to cast it upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon the Lord. Let's say that together. Cast all your care upon the Lord. Are you doing that? Well, not really. Well, you need to do it today. Where am I going to go to college? What kind of relationship am I going to have? Lord, who is it your will for me to marry? Where am I to work, Lord? Well, how am I to relate to my children? How can I raise godly children in an ungodly world? How can I meet my wife's needs? How can I be the godly wife that God, you called me to be? I mean, all of these issues we face today, there is not only a rolling our care, there's a fourth truth in the text. We'll look at it in a moment, and it's this. It's not only rolling our care upon the Lord, what we can't carry, but number 4, if you'll notice, and that's found in verse number 7, rest in the Lord. And this is what God gave me to give to you. Resting in the Lord. Waiting when it's hard to be patient. How many have trouble with patience these days? My soul, I'm in the crowd when I raise my hand. It's hard to be patient, is it not? If you don't believe that, drive in Atlanta. If you don't believe that, you just, that's right. I mean, you just, I'm telling you, patience. Lord, give it to me and I need it now. Waiting when it's hard to be patient. But there's a fifth truth that I see in the text, and it's number 8, and it's this, calming down. How many of you have been hot-headed lately? Yeah, don't raise your hand. You've been hot-headed lately. Calming down when everybody else around you is upset. We live in an upset world. Everybody's upset. Everybody's about to say the sky's falling. I mean, you turn on the news everywhere you go. Are you calm? Are you calm in situations like that? Are you fretting because of that? Number 1, the first way I believe the Lord is wanting us to strengthen our faith today, and it's this. Number 1, by believing what you cannot see. Now write this definition of faith down. I don't know, I learned it a long time ago, and it stuck with me, and I tell you, it's well worth remembering. Believing, faith is not only the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. But also, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If we don't exercise faith in God, we can't please Him. So whatever it is you're thinking about, whatever it is you're planning, whatever it is you've got in your mind, I suggest to you to take it to the Lord and ask God what He thinks about it. Don't ask Him what He thinks about your plans. Rather, you ask Him what He thinks about His plans for you. That's the problem, is it not? But wait a minute. Faith is the, watch this, write it down, the eye that sees the invisible, the heart that believes the incredible, and the hand that receives the impossible. Again, faith is the eye that sees the invisible. And faith is the heart that believes the incredible. And faith is the hand that receives the impossible. Hey, listen to me. If you're listening, say amen. Faith is not believing God can. Faith is believing God will. And so very few of us ever really live the life of faith. We might get saved and sit in the church and hear boatload, truckloads of sermons, but never apply them to our life. And then when the everyday life comes in, we're all worn out, we're all upset, we're all up in the air, we're having difficulty understanding how to flesh out the Christian life. But faith is God's way to please Him. Do you need to adjust your faith? Yeah. Do you need to tweak your faith? Probably so. Do you need a little bit of maintenance on your faith? I believe you probably do if you're like all of us in this crowd. Well, speaking of faith, I heard about a blind man that went in a store. He had a seeing eye dog. It reminds me of Charlie Kurz when he used to come to church here. Charlie, y'all remember Charlie? He had an old golden retriever named Sammy. He carried that seeing eye dog everywhere he went. Matter of fact, we were at the airport picking him up when he went and took training. I'll never forget it. At the Atlanta airport, snowing, and put Sammy the dog in the back. And Jeremy sat on the dog and he started growling, almost bit him. I'll never forget that. It was ice on the ground. Anyway, this man went in a store. He's got a seeing eye dog with him. The man is blind. He grabs the dog by the tail. He starts swinging him around. The owner says, "Sir, what in the world are you doing?" The blind man said, "I'm just looking around. I'm just looking around." Hey, I did hear about a little girl that was up in an attic, and she was looking down in the basement. Her father, her daddy was in the basement. It was pitch black dark. You could not see. It was so dark. The little girl up in the attic, the father, the daddy could see her. There was a light on the other side where she stood in the attic, and the father was down below. The ladder had crumbled and was not working, and so the father, the daddy was saying, "Honey, come on, jump. I'm down here." The little girl, looking in the pitch black dark, was saying, "Daddy, I'm scared. Daddy, I'm scared. I can't see you, Daddy." And the daddy said, "Honey, just jump. Trust me. Trust me. I'll catch you. I won't drop you. Daddy, but Daddy, I can't see you, but I can see you. Just trust me." Faith is believing when you cannot see. And all of a sudden, that little girl takes a leap in the dark, and you know what she does? She falls in her daddy's arms, and he catches her. Sometimes that's the way it is with you and me when it comes to our Lord. You can't see clearly, can you? But you just have to trust Him. In fact, there's sometimes you can't see His hand, but you have to trust His heart. I need somebody to talk with me there. I know some of you have been through some stuff and you know exactly where I'm going with that. Oh, yeah. Hey, have you ever had a blindfold on your eye? Let me ask you a question. If you were to close your eyes right now, imagine you can't see. And now open them for a moment. Imagine my eyes are closed, all right? Have you ever been so in a dark place you couldn't see? Or maybe imagine how it would be being not able to see. Watch me now. I can't see. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to close my eyes. Now I'm going to go a certain place. So I'm going slow. I'm not going very fast. I've got to take one step at a time. I don't really know what's in front of me. I about know what's in front of me, but I'm just going one step at a time. I had to open my eyes just now. I was making sure I wasn't going to touch Brother Darren's head. Amen. Anyway, but you know, sometimes that's the way it is with life, isn't it? You can't see your way clearly. Talk to me, somebody. You just have to trust God one step at a time. You just have to believe the Lord that God knows where. And one day, guess what? One day we're going to take that last step and get escorted to heaven, to our heavenly home. Won't that be wonderful? That's where faith is taking us these days. Well, faith, tell me, what is it that you're going through right now? Is your faith in ICU, does it need a little medicine? Does it need some? Do you need to get to the altar and say, "God, I haven't really been believing you. Lord, I've been fretting over this, and I've been worried over this. And God, I know you're able. I know you're with me. I know you're able to take care of me. I know that you'll carry me to the storms. I know, Lord, you said you wouldn't leave me nor forsake me. And God, I know that you are God and there's none else beside you. And Lord, you're a good God. You won't do me wrong. You're my Father. I'm your Son. And God, I need you to carry me through the storm. Will you today just launch out in faith and say, Lord, I can't see my way clearly, but I trust you, Father, that you know me and you know all about me. And that God, when I can't explain where I'm going and I don't understand firsthand why things are happening around me. Our God, I can trust you because you're a great God, and I want to bless you today. Is your God like that?
There's a second way that our faith can be strengthened. We find it in the text, not only believing when we can't see. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. That is the proof of things not seen. Secondly, notice in verse number 4, not only this matter of believing when we can't see, but notice number 4, embracing what we don't understand. I'm convinced there's some of you today that either you're going through something right now and you're not quite sure, you can't put your finger on it, what God's up to. You're not sure why you're going through what you're going through. But you know that God wants to mature your faith in Him. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Let me just camp there for a moment, all right? And there's two parts. There's two parts to this matter of embracing what you don't understand. You ready for them? Number one. And it's this. Enjoy Jesus. You got to learn to enjoy Jesus. Number two, enjoy the journey. Let me explain. Number one, enjoy Jesus. Delight thyself in the Lord. Hey, look, it's got to be in this order. Don't put your desires before the Lord. See, if you're delighting in Him, He's going to give you what is pleasing to Him and what's going to be for you and my best benefit, right? Oh, but we reverse that thing. We want God to... He'll give you the request. He'll give you the petitions of your heart. But we don't want to delight in Him. God's saying, if you'll delight in me, then I'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight in Him. Delight in the Lord. First, you've got to delight in Him. Well, who is He? Who is He? We're talking about delighting in Him. Delight in the Lord. Notice that word Lord. It's the word Yahweh, self-existing God. He doesn't depend on you. He doesn't depend on me. He depends on no one. Delight in Him. Well, who is He? I'll tell you who He is. He's called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He's called Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. He's called Jehovah Rapha. The God who heals. He's called Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes, He's called the Alpha and the Omega. He's called the bridegroom of the church. He's called the lily of the valley. He's called delight in Him. Because He is the bright and morning star. Delight in Him because He is the King of glory. Delight in Him because He's the man of sorrows. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the Son of the living God. Delight in Him. Why? Because He's the worthy Lamb, and the church said, delight in Him. See, when you delight in Him, things are going to change. Maybe that's what the problem is. Yep. It could be that we're not delighting in the Lord, and yet we want Him to get in on our plan. Delight yourself in the Lord. Enjoy Jesus. Are you enjoying Jesus? Is He a figment of your imagination? Is He just some character 2,000 years ago that died on the cross? Enjoy who He is. Enjoy what He has done. Yes, yes, delight in Him. I don't know about you, but He's taken my sins on His body on the tree. Oh, I don't know about you, but I know this. He was crucified because of the penalty I deserve, and yet I get to go free. I don't know about you, but I know this. Delight in Him because His blood has washed my sins away. Delight in Him because now I am justified, just as I had not sinned. Delight in the Lord because now I'm reconciled to a holy God. Delight in Him because in Him now I live and move and have my being. Delight in Him because He has all and abound in His name. Delight in Him because He said He would never forsake you or leave you. Delight in Him because He arose from the grave. Delight in Him because He ascended into heaven. Delight in Him because one day He's coming in glory and power. Go ahead and delight in Him right now, would you? And thank Him. Would you do it now? Delight in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Enjoy Jesus. Not only enjoy Jesus, but what about enjoy the journey? Lord, it's hard for me to enjoy the journey. I'm having a hard time. Can I tell you what happened to me this week? Sometimes our faith needs adjusting. I was in the checkout line, or the, I say checkout line, I was in the bank drive-through line, and all of a sudden, I noticed on my car, you know that engine gauge that goes from C to H, cold to hot? I noticed the engine, I'm sitting in the line, in the drive-through, and the gauge starts climbing, and climbing from C to H. I mean, no, that's not good. Anyway, I'm looking at that, and I'm saying, wonder what that is. And I sat there, and I said, well, I don't know what that is. This car's overheating for some reason or another. And I said, well, what am I going to do? Well, let me see something. I don't know why the car's overheating. Could be a thermostat, couldn't it? Or it could be something else. I'm not sure what it is. But anyway, I got on the road, and I started driving, and the temperature gauge started going back down. How many know that's good? Anyway, it started going back down. I said, well, hallelujah. Maybe it's fixed. Anyway, I come up to a stop sign, a red light, and I'm sitting in traffic for a while, and it goes back up. How many know that's not good? Anyway, and the thing kept going back, and I said, well, something's wrong. Well, long story short, got out and looked at it, and I said, well, it looks to me like the fan, there's two fans that go over your radiator that pull air over the radiator and keep the engine cool. And I'm noticing the fan motors are not running at all. That leads me to believe that there's something else maybe keeping the fan motors from running. It could be a thermostat. Well, let me check that. Or it could be some other relay or something. Well, let me check that. Let me check the fuse box. It might be a blown fuse. Not that. But you know what, beloved? It turned out to be two fan motors under the radiator. So I went down to Advance Auto. I checked it with my test light. I saw it was getting power, but it just wasn't cooling the engine down. Went to Advance Auto, got me a part, $172, by the way, and put that those two fan took it out, the old one, put the new one in, and it works like a champ. That's good news, isn't it? Sometimes our faith gets malfunctioning. Talk to me. Oh yes, sometimes it doesn't work like it ought to work. God, why am I been worried? Lord, why am I anxious about this? Lord, why am I fretting over all this stuff going on in America, this political stuff going on, and all this other stuff going on? Lord, why am I scared? Why am I living in fear, Lord? Why am I not trusting you? Your faith might need adjusting today. I believe it does need adjusting today to let you know, thank God, if God be for me, who can be against me? There's a third way that our faith can be adjusted, fixed. And I see this clearly in the text. Not only believing what you can't see, trusting the Lord, and not only by, notice, embracing what you don't understand. Number three, commit thy way unto the Lord. You see that in verse 5? Commit thy way unto the Lord. What does that word commit mean? I will tell you what it means. It means roll over your care on the Lord. Are you doing that? Why aren't you doing that? Oh, yes, you say, I know I ought to do that. But why aren't you doing that? Roll your care over on the Lord. Look at this. This is what this means. Sometimes we carry around care in our life, and we just can't get victory over it. We don't understand why we're having troubles and all. And God says, just commit thy ways unto the, roll it over. Just roll it over. Just, are you doing that? All that trouble and problems you got, stuff you can't control, roll it over. Will you roll it over today? Roll it over unto the Lord, and He will direct thy path. Notice, there's inward anxiety. We worry. That's an inside job. How many worried today? How many been worried last week? Oh, you can pretend like if you want to, or you can do business with God. One of two ways you can respond. You can say, I don't have any worries, Pastor. I'm not. And then you can go out the same way you came in. Or you can say, you know, really? I've been worried about some stuff, and maybe I'm not even sure what I'm worried about, but I want God to adjust that today. I want to roll this care over on the Lord. I'm going to roll it over on God and let Him carry it. Can I tell you what happened to me? Over in a while back, I went to New York City, to the airport. I'd never been to New York City, the airport. Had the privilege of going to California, to San Francisco, Los Angeles, Texas, Houston, and Dallas, and Atlanta, and Miami, and different airports, Jacksonville, Orlando, Chicago, Memphis, other airports in the United States. But I've never been to New York City airport. How many have been to New York City airport? Let me see your hand. All right, I got there. I was on this journey, 21 days to Israel, this long journey. I've got too much in my suitcase. How many know what I'm talking about? Just pack it all. I'd rather have it, not need it, than need it, not have it. Somebody say amen. Anyway, but I'm there in New York City. Finally, my plane lands. I'm going to be gone for 21 days. I'm by myself. I know nobody. You know, and I stop in the airport over in New York City, and it's late at night, 11:30, 12 o'clock. I'm hungry. How many know what I'm talking about? I stay hungry, all right? I'm hungry. I'm ready to eat something. Nothing's open. Nothing. Zero. Nothing's open. And I'm walking out of the airport. I've made reservations. Excuse me. Becky's made reservations for me at the Days Inn. And no big deal, right? Right. I walk out and here in the airport of New York City, and there's cabs, there's taxi cab drivers lined up. There's about 10 of them. All of them are professionally. All of them are painted. All of them had their signs on it. And I'm just looking around. I'm saying, well, the Days Inn's not very far, according to the website. It's only about, you know, a mile or two from the airport, and no big deal, right? A man comes up to me and says, sir, you need a ride? I said, yes, I do, as a matter of fact. I'm going to the Days Inn. I'm going to stay tonight, and then we'll come back to the airport, and then we're flying out to Turkey, Istanbul. A man says, hand me your luggage. He puts it in there. I get in the car, or this van, as it were, this cab, and he takes off, and I'm watching the meter, and it's starting to climb. How many know what I'm talking about? And we're driving around for about 5-10 minutes. Everything's fine, and then 10 minutes ends in 15 minutes, and 15 minutes ends in about close to 20 minutes. And I look over at him, I said, sir, the Days Inn's only about 2 miles from here. The meter keeps climbing and my blood pressure's climbing. How many know what I'm talking about? Anyway, and then I look over there and he says, well, there's more than one Days Inn. I knew I was in trouble then, amen. And he starts riding around and it's 20 minutes and 25 minutes. And finally I said, sir, you don't know where Days Inn is? And he acted like he didn't know. And all of a sudden, after about 25 minutes, I said, well, just take me back to the airport. How many know Pastor was getting a little bit upset, all right? I said, take me back to the airport. God being my witness, it's never happened to me before, and I trust it'll never happen again. Anyway, he went in a ghetto slum area. God being my witness, I'm sitting over there on the passenger side, he's driving here, and he pulls over in this dark, dark neighborhood. There's torn down homes, right? There's not a light on the street. And I'm sitting there. He pulls off the side of the road. He turns his light off. I look in my rearview mirror. I'm sitting on the passenger side, and coming up behind me is a light from a truck. And we're the only ones in this neighborhood. He's pulled off the side of the road, no lights. I'm looking around. I said, this is it. I'm history. Really. I mean, I thought, I saw the lights coming up in the rearview. What do you do when you're in a situation like that? I grabbed my phone and said, Deanna, help! I picked up my phone and called and said, hey, Deanna, is there a, you know, and I had the address and all that. I don't know what happened, but for some reason or another, I looked up, and I don't know who it was in the truck behind us. I don't even know what happened was behind us. But all I know is I looked at him, and I said, take me back to the airport. He rode around for another probably 10, 15 minutes, and acting like I said, bless God, if I'm going to go to heaven, I might as well make the best of it, all right? I looked at him and said, sir, I want to know one question. Are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm a Muslim. I said, no wonder. And then I began to tell him about Jesus. I said, praise God, if I'm going to heaven, I'm going to tell him about the Lord. And finally, I said, just take me back to the airport. He finally rolled up, and Days Inn, folks, I was so, I was up to here. How many know what I'm talking about? I was up to here. I'm in New York City. I was so shaken by that. He pulled up his van beside, I didn't even wait till it stopped. I flung open the door, jumped out of the door, ran back, flipped open the back, grabbed my suitcase, and I was running out. I said, where's my computer? Where's my computer? He said, sir, it's around your neck. I said, oh, okay. I went to the checkout, and the man at the Days Inn said, how's your day been?
I said, not the best. I'll be honest with you. It hadn't been the best. And I told him what happened. He said, sir, you're just fortunate to get back here. I said, yes, I am. That was one night I slept with one eye open and one eye closed, all right? I was just glad to see the morning, the next morning, and headed out. I'm talking about, listen, rolling your care upon the Lord. Have you ever been through a situation like that when you don't know what to do? There's a fourth way to tweak, to yea, adjust your faith, and it's found in the next verse, and is this, namely, waiting when it's hard to be patient. Look at this. Waiting to be when it's hard to be patient. I want you to zero in, please, in chapter 37 and verse number 7. Rest in the Lord. You see that? Rest in the Lord. That is, be still and wait patiently for Him. How many need some good old-fashioned patience these days? You're finding yourself getting impatient. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I think helped me more than anything about patience? It's going fishing when you're a little boy. You know, when I was a little boy, you didn't have cell phones and all that stuff. You go fishing when you don't have a boat to fish in. You're fishing from the bank. You get you a worm or cricket on that hook. You throw it out, and the bobber just sits there. And I mean, it sits there. And I mean, often it'll just sit there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And you got to be alert because he'll bite it when you don't think he's going to bite it. And it'll nibble, and you better be ready or you'll miss, and they'll take your bait. But I think that helped teach a little bit of patience. Speaking of patience, it reminded me when one man, we had done several of his family's funerals, and he invited me to go out to Colorado elk hunting. How many have ever been elk hunting? Anyway, I've never been elk hunting, killed some deer and such, but we went out to Colorado. And you know what happened? We sat there for 2 days. I mean, you couldn't see a bird flying. There was not a bee buzzing. We sat there from sunup till sundown looking for the elk to come in, and there was no elk in sight, no animals whatsoever. Finally, after 3 days, I'm telling you, I was about ready to, this has been about 10 years ago or so, I was finally about ready to give up. And about that last day, the guide said, there they are. I mean, we've been sitting for just 2 days without seeing. I mean, you could see for miles and miles and miles. We're sitting on a big cliff, and you could just see for 50 miles, and nothing was going on. And I was getting a little bit kind of impatient, you might say. Finally, after the last day, he said, there's looks like some elk coming over the hill. We got in position, and there they come over the hill. Now, I need to tell you something. Because our son Jeremy was with us at the time. He took some kind of elephant gun. I don't know what kind it was, but man, it killed elephants. I don't know what kind it was, but it was a big gun. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I had my trusty 30-06. How many know what I'm talking about? 30-06. And it killed deer with it, granted. But I forgot to tell you that I'd knocked the scope off several times just kind of bumming it around. You hunters know what I'm talking about. In fact, the day before we went hunting out there in Colorado, there was snow on the ground, and I target practiced it over 100 yards. And I sighted that baby in. Boom! I missed the target by about 12 inches. My sights were off that far. I didn't even fool with him. I said, hey, I don't care about killing an elk. It's not about me anyway. I really want Jeremy to shoot an elk. But anyway, here comes the elk down the hill. He's got this gun. Boom, boom, boom. He shoots him about 2 or 3 times. There's a big 4x4 bull elk. Down he went. And the other elk were coming down the hill. And they turned around, and I had my gun. And man, we've sat there for 2 days, seen nothing, zero. And they started heading up the hill. And they're going about 100 yards. I've got it on video. They said, shoot him. Shoot him. It was 2 cows, you know, female elk. Shoot him, shoot him. Well, I didn't care about shooting. I said, should I shoot him? Nah, nah, nah. Shoot him, shoot him, shoot him. I said, shoot him, shoot him. My gun's off. Get it? Keep in mind. They're running up the hill. They're about 100 yards. They're about 150 yards. And I said, well, should I shoot him? Should I shoot him? I guess I will. And they're just running full speed. And boom, one shot. Hit the ground. One shot. Went up there, the bullet went right here and right here. I believed in miracles before that happened, but I really believe in miracles now. I really believe in miracles now. What are we talking about? We're talking about commit thy works. Wait and be patient. All right, number 5, and I'll be done. Number 1, believing when you can't see. Number 2, embracing when you don't understand. Number 3, hey. Waiting when it's hard to be patient. Rolling over your care. Then last, look at verse number 8 in the text. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. I'll close on this. Does your faith need adjusting?
Talk to me. Does your faith really need adjusting? Mamas, you know, what's the future hold for my children? Daddies, can I get out of debt and pay all the stuff that's going to be needed? And mamas and grandparents, what am I going to do? Last but not least, last week, how many heard about Islam and all that was going on in Newton County? We talked about it last Sunday morning. I called John Douglas, who is our representative in Newton County. He told me this. He said, Pastor, if you come to the session tonight, which is last Monday night, he said, know this. If you speak, I'm going to send you an email that shows the Muslim lawyers have targeted anybody that opposes this mosque or school or cemetery that's coming in 135 acres. He said, and the article said, I'll show it to you on my email, said that these lawyers would show up your door at 12 o'clock at night threatening to give you a lawsuit. And not only that, but they'd intercept your emails. And he said, if you speak against it, you just need to know what's going to happen. Now, you know that's just like the devil, isn't it? That's just like the devil. Well, I prayed about that thing. I prayed and prayed and prayed on Monday. And I said, Lord, you want me to go? I'll go. I don't have to say anything. I'll just go. And if, Lord, you want me to say something, I'll say something. If you don't, I won't. Anyway, showed up the last second. You heard about all that stuff going on. By the way, can I just put another word right here? Did you hear about the mayors of Newton County? I'm ashamed to say, Newbern mayor, Mansfield mayor, Covington mayor, Porterdale mayor, Oxford mayor, all of them, according to the article I read, said that this was a waste of time for us to have give the people an opportunity to speak their voice. Did y'all hear that? I don't know about the whole story, but anyway, that's another subject. We got there on Monday night, stood in a line for about an hour. And the second session, one was at 6 o'clock, the other one was at 7:45. Packed out, 300 people plus. And anyway, we were hearing testimony after testimony, and all of a sudden, I was just sitting there. I wasn't going to say anything, honestly. How many believe that? Anyway, the Lord moved in my heart to say something. But wait a minute, I got to tell y'all something. They said 2 minutes. How many know pastor can't say something in 2 minutes? That's the first time I've ever been called down. Somebody say amen. Anyway, I just stood up and shared some things. I'm not trying to bash the Muslims. I'm saying Jesus came to die for our sins and was buried and shared some things. I'm saying this. We got to let go of some of this anger. We got to let go of some of this. If we're going to adjust the faith, if we're going to have our faith tweaked, if we're going to do great exploits for God, we've got to believe sometimes when we can't see. I wonder if you stand to your feet right now today.